Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
They snuck into an old school that had been sitting untouched for years, expecting noises, movement, anything. Instead, they found something far more unsettling, and they still can't explain what it was.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello, and welcome to Time Life Music, where this week we're going to be letting you know that you too can enjoy the smooth sounds of Real Ghost Stories Online Body and Soul Collection for 7 easy payments. Anyway, welcome to the program. We'd love to hear your ghost story. Real Ghost Stories Online is where you can write it in, or you can pick up a telephone or this rectangular device, whatever yours is called, and put in the numbers 855-853-4802. Incidentally, the only phone number that I still hold in my brain. And you can call and share your ghost story with us, and we'd love to hear it. I think that's actually fairly true. I don't know anyone's phone number.
I know mine.
You know my own.
I know mine.
I know my own.
And I know, like, some childhood phone numbers from
I know
when
that.
I was little.
Yep,
but that's
yep.
it. That is it.
I know the radio station's phone numbers. And the business line, and my number, my childhood phone number, and the phone number to Nintendo customer service.
Why do you know that?
What is it?
800-255-3700.
Because you called it so many times.
I did. Back in the day, initially you could call it. This is like, you know, pre-internet. There was some magazines and stuff about that, about video games. But like, I would call the Nintendo customer line and just talk with the people at that phone number about the games and learn about what was coming up. And they were all too interested in talking to you. And I'd have long conversations with these reps. And there was, originally you could actually get tips from them, but then they made a tip line that was like a 900 number. But, I would just call and ask about what's coming up, what's new, what's the next system going to be, things like that. And then as I got older, I started prank calling them.
You did that?
Yes. There was a lot of times where the Nintendos were catching a fire and I would make it sound like, oh my God, like the cat's tail is stuck in the Nintendo and I'm trying to like get it out. I mean, I probably have done hundreds of prank phone calls to Nintendo over the course of my lifetime. Probably the most recent being just a few years ago with me and my daughter.
That's good. Like, teach the daughter that stuff.
He's like, you want to do something funny? Let's do something funny. Let's call Nintendo.
That's funny.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's a documentary about that phone number too, because so many people knew it. Because you actually, people would call it for those reasons, to learn about the games, because that's really, there wasn't this ecosystem that there is today of any of that. So I don't know. It was one of those, and it's like a number that it gets ingrained in your mind at one of those ages where it stays. It's just not going away.
The only phone number I know that and I've never called it, but I know it's 588-2300
Empire. Today.
Why do I know that? Like, and I don't even know what they sell.
Carpet. Flooring. They do flooring.
Okay.
Empire flooring. Yeah. There's the General too. That's another interesting one.
I don't know their number.
I forgot that what that was. What was, oh, there was, remember the Cars for Kids commercial? It was like, it was a child singing.
Yeah.
And it was, and then Cars for Kids. It was just annoying as shit.
I do remember that.
I find children singing annoying. I find it I find it displeasing. I didn't like it when I was a kid. I mean, no, I like. I think it's like choruses and things like that. But a lot of times, just like the I'm just singing, like that's just like nails in a fucking chalkboard.
And then there's, you know, times where you don't want to hear it, like middle of the night, you wake
up. It's creepy. Yeah,
that is so creepy.
Yeah.
A child's voice when you don't expect it, like there's no children in your house.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
It is. It really is.
Do you remember the lullaby shop jingle way back? Tony was a kid going, the lullaby shop, the lullaby shop.
And
then it's my parents did something great, blah, blah, blah. They went to the lullaby shop for me, and these little kids are singing it. And ooh.
What the hell was that? That was like a like a children's store or something?
Yeah, I think for like bedrooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, I hated that one too. That was annoying. There was one I just had in my mind.
My bedroom is a happy place. My mom and dad, they made it great. They went to the lullaby shop for me.
Jesus.
That's got to be like 30 or 40 years old.
At least. God. Yeah. My favorite, my all-time favorite, though, was this was in Wisconsin, and it was a grocery store, Cops Food Center, and they it was a summer promotion.
Oh God!
And I think there was a clown involved on the commercial. It might have been Cuddles or Oscar, one of the two. I don't remember which, but the jingle, it was the thing was called Kids Week at Cops.
Right.
So it was like you go into the store and there's like kids get some fun shit. But the jingle was, you could tell, like, they didn't want to pay a jingle company. So I think they just got like their sales guy that can sing bad falsetto to go into a radio station and record the fucking jingle. And it was like, Kids Week at Cops. I mean, it was horrible. And I remember like, what the fuck was that? And Kids, we got cops. Kids, we got cops. It was just, it was, is this serious? Like, did they put the right thing on the air? Or is this like a filler? Like, what the fuck's going on here? And no, it was the fucking jingle. And they put some money into that promotion because it fucking ran all the time for Kids We Got Cops.
Well, and how ironic, they're no longer around, right? They're gone now. Cops is gone.
It was a good, I like Cops. That was one of my, you worked at a Cops for a while. Yeah. It was a good, I liked it. I liked that store. They always had the best free samples.
Yeah.
That's why I like Cops. But yeah. Kids, we got cops. I wonder if I can find that commercial. It was horrible. Anyway, that shit, this is the shit that haunts my dreams.
And now haunts our listeners' dreams as well. And now
haunts your dreams as well. Happy to help. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
I don't know why that made me laugh as hard as it did, but that was funny. I'm going to go back into this episode and just clip that out.
Real Ghost Stories Online. Make it the ringtone for me.
No, I'm just going to be like, every time you get ready to say something, I'm just going to hit a button.
That would be a disturbing one to wake up to in the middle of the night with your phone ringing or something. It's like a text from me. It's like, Real Ghost Stories Online. It's like off in the corner. Like, what the fuck was that? I think my pets would be really disturbed by that. They start growling and shit. All right, let's get into the story. It says, by the time Brandon turned off the main road, it was already clear none of them were as comfortable with the idea as they had been earlier in the day, even if one said it out loud. I'm starting at the top. This is right. Okay.
Where it says story.
Yeah, I just did it. I'm on my prompter over here, and I just want to make sure I'm on the right thing. It's been acting up over here. I think I have to update it. All right. Even if no one had said it out loud, the road curved away from town, narrowing as it stretched out towards the edge of where things felt familiar, and the building came into view ahead of them, sitting further back than it looked from a distance. It was the old elementary school, the one that had been there long enough that most people either went there themselves or knew someone who had. Parents still referred to it sometimes when they talked about where their kids used to go before the new school was built closer to town. Lee remembered being inside it once when she was younger, not long enough to picture specific classrooms, but enough to know it hadn't always looked like that. It had been loud, busy, full in the way schools always are, not just sat there. The school hadn't closed in any dramatic way. A newer building had been constructed, and like a lot of places, everything had been moved there. Students finished out the year, packed up what mattered, and started fresh somewhere else in the fall. That part made sense. What didn't was what happened after. The building had never really been touched again. It wasn't torn down, renovated, or even cleared out the way most places are when they're left behind. Classrooms still had desks, books still sat on shelves, equipment remained where it had always been, as if someone had expected it to be used again, and it just never was. People mentioned that sometimes, not like it was important, just enough that it stuck. And then there was the other part, the part that came up less often, that it was haunted. None of them really believed that. That was part of the reason they were there. It had come up often enough that it stopped being something they laughed off, and eventually curiosity outweighed the effort it took to ignore it. Brandon pulled onto the gravel without asking if anyone had changed their mind, and no one said they had. They got out one at a time, the quiet settling in around them as soon as the car doors closed. Up close, the building looked exactly like it should have. The windows were dusty but intact, and the structure itself wasn't falling apart or unstable. It didn't look dangerous. It looked like a place that had simply been left alone. That should have made it feel normal. It didn't. Brandon tried the front door, more out of habit than expectation, and when it opened, all four of them hesitated just long enough to notice it before Ryan stepped inside. The others followed because standing outside suddenly felt like the worst option. The air didn't match what they expected. There was no heavy smell, no noticeable drop in temperature, none of the things people usually point to when they want to prove a place is haunted. The hallway stretched in both directions, lockers lining one side, classroom doors sitting open or closed at random. Everything looked exactly like it should have. It just didn't feel like it. They moved slowly, not because they were afraid, but because the space seemed to resist anything faster. Their footsteps sounded wrong, not louder or quieter, just off. And the sound didn't carry the way it should have. It didn't echo. It didn't linger. It faded almost as soon as it was made. Ryan stepped into the first classroom and looked around before stepping back out again. Lee followed a moment later, stopping just inside the doorway. The room was normal, desks arranged loosely, a chalkboard at the front, a few books left behind on a shelf, but none of it felt like it had been used. That was the first thing that didn't line up. Leah had expected something. Not fear, not anything dramatic, just a sense that the place had a past. That was what people meant when they talked about haunted buildings. They felt like something had happened there. This place didn't feel like anything had. It felt blank. They moved further inside, and each room confirmed the same thing. The library still had books. The gym still had its markings on the floor. The cafeteria still had tables pushed together in rows. Everything suggested the building had been used. Nothing felt like it had. At some point, their conversation faded without any of them noticing exactly when it happened. There was nothing to say that felt like it mattered, and Even when someone started to speak, the words didn't seem to go anywhere. They just dropped away into the same empty feeling that filled the rest of the space. That was when it started to bother them, not because something was happening, but because nothing was. They had come expecting something, a sound, a feeling, something they could point to and either believe or dismiss. Instead, they got nothing. And the longer they stayed, the more that nothing started to feel wrong. They found themselves back in the largest room without deciding to go there, as if they had all followed the same path without thinking about it. At the far end, a doorway stood partially open, leading into a narrower section of the building they hadn't explored yet. It didn't look different, but it felt like it was. Lee noticed the shift first. She couldn't have explained it if she tried. The emptiness hadn't gone away. It had changed. What had felt like nothing now felt more defined, like it had shape without form. The space didn't feel empty anymore. It felt held. Ryan saw it next, then Brandon and Sophie shifted closer without realizing it. No one suggested going further, but no one suggested leaving either. They stood there, all of them, aware of the same thing without saying it. The building hadn't felt like anything when they walked in. Now it felt like something was making sure of it. Brandon stepped forward, not because he was brave, but because he was tired of waiting. He moved into the room slowly, his attention fixed on the far end where the hallway narrowed out of sight, and for a moment, nothing happened. And it almost felt like the entire thing had been in their heads. The building stayed quiet, flat, in the same unnatural way it had been since they walked in, and it seemed possible that whatever had felt wrong about it might never amount to anything at all. Then the sound came. It wasn't loud, and it didn't come from one clear direction at first. It carried unevenly through the space, just enough to register as something real before it could be explained away. All four of them heard it in the same time. And the shift in their posture made it clear none of them were imagining it. The second time it came through, it was unmistakable. It sounded like children. Not words they could make out, not anything they could repeat later, but the rhythm of it was clear. Multiple voices overlapping, rising and falling in the way groups of kids do when they're talking all at once. The kind of background noise that belongs in a place like that. Except there was no reason for it to be there. The school sat well outside of town, far enough for there were no houses nearby, no playgrounds, no fields where anyone would have been gathering. They hadn't passed anyone on the road. They hadn't seen any cars. And the building itself had been completely still since they walked in. There was nowhere the sound could have come from. It carried for another second or two, just long enough for all of them to fully recognize what they were hearing, and then it stopped all at once, as if something had cut it off rather than letting it fade. The silence that followed felt completely different. It wasn't empty anymore. It had weight now, and direction, and a presence that hadn't been there before. The flat absence that had filled the building when they first entered was gone, replaced by the clear, immediate sense that something had been there the entire time, held back in a way none of them had understood until that moment. Lee felt it settle in before she could think her way around it. The building hadn't been empty. It had been kept that way. They didn't run, but they didn't stay either. They backed out together, all of them moving at the same time without needing to say anything, their attention fixed in the hallway as they retraced their steps. Nothing followed them and nothing else happened, but the silence had changed, and whatever had been holding it in place no longer felt contained. They got into the car and left without talking about it at first. The kind of silence that doesn't feel awkward because no one really wants to break it. The road back toward town looked the same as it always had, familiar in a way that should have made everything feel normal again. And didn't. After a while, someone started to say something, then stopped, like they'd already decided it wasn't worth trying to explain. No one pushed it. There wasn't anything to argue about, nothing to figure out in the way they usually would, because there wasn't a good explanation. They hadn't seen anything. Nothing had moved. Nothing had followed them out. And still, they all heard it. Even later, when they talked about it again, it never turned into a real conversation. No one tried to convince the others of what it meant, and no one tried very hard to explain it away either. It just sat there between them, the same way the building had sat there outside of town for years, unanswered. They didn't suddenly start believing in anything they hadn't before. They didn't go looking for more places like that, and they didn't turn it into a story they had to scare people. But they never went back. And none of them ever said it out loud, not directly, but they all knew the same thing when they thought about it later. They didn't know what to believe. They just knew what they heard.
Bum, bum.
Ta-da.
You know, that reminded me, I recently did an episode of The Grave Talks, and a woman bought an old school, and you went to an abandoned school too once, Tony.
A lot of
the things were still there, like the desks and books, and there were things, you know, I think there were a lot of things she didn't even realize were in the school until she got like in a basement or in closets.
Yeah. Stuff.
And the chalkboards were still on the wall with writing on them, like a teacher had written. And that to me is so creepy, and I don't know why, because these are just children going to school. Why is that creepy? But it is, to walk into a place like that that's abandoned.
But you also see like old hospitals and stuff like that where, you know, there's still gurneys out in the hallway or wheelchairs still hanging around. It's like when these places close, sometimes they literally just pick up and leave. I did an investigation at the Pabst Brewery in Milwaukee, which hasn't been open for decades. Like, I think it closed in the 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. And we went through, and literally we were walking through the office area, and there were people's desks that still had the calendar on the desk with notes next to it. The phones all had like, management extension 432. Some of the desks had like personal pictures and stuff from family members on it. So it was like walking into like a ghost ship or something, where you open the doors and it was exactly left the way it was the last day they all worked there.
So was that a situation where it closed down?
It did. I think brewing went to another company or whatever, and it became this kind of like a museum. They rent out part of it now for like weddings and stuff like that. But a good portion of that building is just empty the way it was when they left.
See, it's so creepy to me.
There is there's been several exploration shows, but I think there was a restoration show that focused on the Pabst Brewery. It comes to mind like it was an HGTV thing or something. It's been like probably at least a decade ago. I believe it was like a documented, how we're turning what was essentially ruins, or abandoned, building, how they repurposed it and kind of brought it back to life. I remember watching something like this, unless this is one of those dreams of mine.
It could be one of your fever dreams.
Yeah.
They did redo part of it. It's called Pabst Best Place. Mm-hmm. And it's that area that is now used for weddings, and it's a bar and all that kind of stuff. So they did repurpose some of that area.
That might have been what it was about. Yeah. I don't remember exactly, but there was something. I got to look it up now, but I remember it being very interesting. And that's kind of what came to mind. But what it feels, all those things, it's a time capsule, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a living time capsule. It's when you can walk right into and you're looking at scenes you've already seen in life, but it's shaded differently now. And like the people are gone, but the items remain, the atmosphere remains. And because our minds are trying to make sense of everything and trying to make everything okay, feel normal, it's looking for things that are out of place. And in an environment that is always so busy and bustling, when it's not, because that's the way our minds see it 99% of the time. And then when it's there and that one time it's not, it's like, what the fuck's going on? And then that's what makes it's so unnerving. Is that sort of a feeling. And that's not to say that there's not, stuff there. I mean, I think environments like that, that had so much energy going on, are probably the most likely to have something in it, or just the energy itself, whatever that does, resonating, bouncing off the walls, still never fully escaping.
Yeah.
Where you're going to feel that. I mean, because I think what's unnerving about some of those places is you go in and you still feel the energy, but the people aren't there.
Yeah.
And the smell, too.
Like the smells, there's always those, yeah. There's like a mall smell. There's a school smell. There's a, and sometimes, and it's amazing, like how many like elementary schools smell alike. And that one... that I went into, it was over in, I probably told the story before, it was in Wichita area, Park City, I think is where it was. And it was BTK's elementary school, where the BTK killer had actually gone. And this school had shut down, I don't know, probably around 2000-ish, somewhere in that era. It hadn't been abandoned that long. But it did sit there, and windows are getting broken, and it's this big old brick elementary school, it's kind of, you can tell like it'd been there a long time. A lot of stories, I'm sure, a lot of people who went there that are now, well into adulthood. And just it had that energy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that made me think of BTK. Like, yeah. Well off into serial killer land.
Well off into serial killerdom, Big old, schoolyard, playground. It stood out because it's just there in a fairly busy trafficked area as this, hulking skeleton of a school. And I always wanted to go in it. And then one day I saw a wrecking crew was on one side of it, and I'm like, well, it's now or never. And I just drove over there, and I had just gotten a new camera, and I'm like, oh, this will be perfect. And I went over and I just said, hey, I just want to go in and take some pictures. Is that okay? I mean, if I go way the hell over there, cause it was a sprawling school. And they're like, okay, go, just don't go past this and you'll be fine if you're over in there. But don't go past this. Here's a hard hat. And they let me go in, and I had the picture somewhere. And
pictures,
I did video.
I remember being really cool too.
Yeah, they were. They were so, it was kind such a neat,
creepy.
Yeah. I mean, then there was chalkboard things, things were written on the chalkboards. I'm sure it was mainly from vandals at that point. Unless the teachers were really giving some interesting lessons and things like fuck, penis, swastikas, and, things like, so there was those sort of things, but there was a lot of the desks, was there. I walked into the, it was the gym, and it was one of those old gyms where it was also the cafeteria and there was a stage. And I walked back into the kitchen area, and then there was the balance beam, the carpeted balance beam. Remember those?
Yes.
That, they'd bring out, and there it was. I mean, this, and I'm thinking of the thousands of children who will always remember this stick of wood with carpet on. And it's going to be torn up in, a little while. I almost felt like I wanted to steal the balance beam. And, I don't know. I have like attachment to shit. But I did take a door number from there. And I think it's somewhere around here. On one of my shelves of shit. But that's, yeah, I took that because I wanted to have a little memento, because it was all going to, be destroyed. There was like the speakers on the ground. Remember like the ones you look up on the wall?
Oh yeah. Like, oh, the,
yeah,
intercom.
Yeah. The announcement one. And there's just, I should have taken one of those, honestly. I got some really neat photos. I got to find them and I'll send them, but there, it was a neat experience. I don't really do a whole lot of exploring like that. I'm too chicken shit, quite honestly, that I'm going to get caught and all that. But I got permission, and it was fun. It was neat.
Did it have a creepy vibe to it, though? I mean, because the pictures were creepy. Because it's an abandoned school, and it looks like there should be kids, and it's all, you know.
It did. I mean, it had that vibe. It had a haunted vibe to it. You know, it was there should be energy here. You almost feel like there's energy there, but you're not seeing anything. The only thing that kind of offset it was the constant sound of the other half of the building being destroyed. And the, you know, rattling, you know, of the structure a bit, but
it's weird because I went to two elementary schools growing up, and one of them was just torn down this week. They literally just demolished it. So
they did?
Yeah.
In the Rosendale. One that was the...
No.
Oh.
That's the other one. The other one that I went to is now a sex shop. Yeah. So
the sex shop lives on.
It does. But the actual, you know, the one that was actually working up until apparently a couple of years ago is being torn down. So...
They could have turned it into a sex shop. I mean,
it's a 3-room schoolhouse with a gym and cafeteria. Let's just go ahead and throw some booths in here. Let's get it going.
They still do the Christmas program there every year.
It's apparently does very well because it's right on the highway. So, you know, people can just pull off and take care of things and then be on their merry way.
It's so funny. It was always like when you're a kid, driving up and down the highway there, Highway 41, there would be, you know, it's billboards everywhere. And then there's a gazillion billboards, sex, like sex, porn, like arrows down. And just like, you don't want to look because you're in the car with your parents. You're like, the fuck?
But then also like a couple of billboards down would be be saved by Jesus.
Yes.
Right. I mean, so it was this really weird mixture of billboards for about 2 miles.
I think the only time I've ever seen like that kind of a string of weirdness, it was like in Georgia or something, like in the deep South, on like that stretch between like Atlanta and Orlando.
I bet
it's just deliverance land in some places. That was always fun. The porn shop.
The old school.
But there was like several schools in the area that were, I think, that exact layout, weren't there? Wasn't, I think the Lakeshore was the same layout, the original that is now, I don't know if it's still there, but it was like, they used it as like the outbuilding. I think the kindergarten was there or something, but, those were neat. Those little old buildings. Wonder if it's haunted. You think the porn shop's haunted with the ghosts of children?
Well, that would
That's
suck,
the fucking
it?
Horrible. Oh my God. Wow, that makes it so creepy. Like, so creepy, my God. All right, well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and other horrors. If you want to get access to our bonus episodes, check us out on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online right there to get in on that. Until next time, for Carol and Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.